How to buy indexed universal life insurance. I'll explain next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times best-selling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people and organizations, that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. Well, folks, as a financial strategist and retirement planning specialist now for five decades, you probably know by now, if you've listened to this show very much, that my favorite financial vehicle to prepare for a comfortable retirement, wherein many thousands of clients that I've helped throughout the decades accumulate their money tax-free, and then they are able to access that money income tax-free throughout their retirement years, and at the end of the day, when they finally pass away, anything left behind in the account blossoms, increases in value, and transfers income tax-free. What is that? It is a property-structured, maximum-funded, indexed universal life insurance contract. And I say it that way because so many financial advisors do not know how to structure it correctly to do what I'm talking about. In a nutshell, what you're trying to do is take the least amount of insurance that the IRS will let you get away with, and you're trying to design it to accommodate the most money that the IRS will allow you to put into it so it becomes a tax-free cash cow. What does that mean? It means that if you just employed that strategy and never changed your allocation or diversified the indexing strategies, you might historically earn 8-9% rate of return gross, but you should net cash on cash retroactive back to day one when you first started the account within one percentage point of the gross rate of return. If you earned 8, you should net 7. If you averaged 7, you should net 6. But when you rebalance and diversify, I was able to move my rates of return since 1980 up to 9.62%. And since 1997, because that's when indexing came out, I'm not talking about index mutual funds, folks. This is a strategy. I've been able to earn average returns of 11.17% and netting 10.07. So I'm netting 10% cash on cash, which means if I accumulate $1 million nest egg in one of these, that $1 million can generate $100,000 a year of tax-free income for as long as I live. If I started taking income at age 60 and I live to be 120, that could be 60 more years. If you structure it correctly, this is based on actual historical performance, okay? Now, I can't guarantee that for the future, but people then ask me, well, how do you buy one correctly? How can I know if my advisor knows how to do this right? And that's why I developed an organization. I've trained over 5,000 financial advisors, CPAs, tax attorneys. But right now, we are mentoring about 1,000 indexed universal life insurance agents because they realized that they didn't know what they didn't know. I would say over 99% of agents who sell insurance do not know how to structure one correctly. What does that mean? Well, it means that you would be lucky if you were to average a gross crediting rate over, you know, 20 or 30 years while you're saving money. If you were to average 8, you might be lucky to net 4 or 5. In other words, the cost of the insurance is way more than it needed to be because the agent didn't know how to structure it correctly, okay? If you're going to earn 8, you want to net 7, but if you can rebalance and diversify, you can earn, you know, 10, 11, or higher, and earn 11 and net 10. So it's very, very critical that you get together with somebody who knows what they're doing. So when the general public asks me, well, so how do you buy one of these? Well, What you're doing is you're self-insuring. And a lot of agents don't know what I'm talking about here. You want the cash value of this insurance contract to continue to lower the actual cost of insurance. See, when I ask people, have you ever seen an insurance policy that gets cheaper as you get older? And people go, what? I've never heard of a policy that does that. Well, then you haven't seen one of these. Because if you do this right, the insurance gets cheaper as you get older. Okay? And so a lot of times people will say, well, does my indexed universal life insurance policy transfer the cash value to my, you know, beneficiaries, my heirs at my death, or just the death benefit? Because so many times, if you have a buy term, invest the difference proponent, which I used to be, you know, the argument is, well, I want my cash to be added on top of the death benefit. Now, that sounds good, except you are making the insurance policy get more expensive as you get older, because every year older you are, the chance of you dying goes up, and so the actual mortality cost goes up. If you do it the opposite way, it goes down. So let me try to simplify this for you, because if you're using this for living benefits, this is what I'm talking about. I want to use it for tax-free income. I want the cost of the insurance to get cheaper as I get older. So how do you do that? Let me use a 60-year-old male as an example. If you were a 60-year-old male, and if you're, you know, a 60-year-old female, it's very similar, except you would actually get a little bit more insurance coming along for the ride because you have better health, okay? You have better longevity. But let's take a 60-year-old male that wants to reposition, let's say, $500,000 to optimize that money. When I say optimize, you want to increase the liquidity, the ability to access your money when you need it, the safety, so you don't lose when the market goes down. You want to increase the rate of return, so it's greater than the inflation rate, and you want to have your money be totally tax-free. So if you were a 60-year-old male and you wanted to reposition, let's say, $200,000 and get it rolled out of your IRAs or 401ks, get the taxes over and done with sooner than later, and you had another $200,000 that's coming from the sale of a rental home that you're sick and tired of being the landlord, taking out the trash, fixing toilets, and evicting the tenants. You want out, and maybe you have another $100,000 that is sitting in the bank or credit union earning a nominal rate of return that's not even close to the inflation rate. So that's a grand total of $500,000 in this example. $200,000 coming out of IRAs or 401ks, $200,000, let's say, from the sale of a rental home, and another $100,000 coming out of the bank. So that's a total of $500,000. If you came to me and you're 60 years old and you're in good health, even if you're not in good health, I can still do this. I want the least amount of insurance that I can get away with. I mean, for $500,000, you could get a ton of life insurance. That's not the objective. You want the least amount of insurance you can get away with. The IRS says, well, if you're 60 years old, it's about double that. So you can get $1 million of life insurance and you put in 500 grand. Now, when you put in $500,000, you can't put it in all at once. It takes 5 years to get it in there. $100,000 the first year is the fastest you could do it. And then the second, third, fourth year, and fifth year, you put in $500,000. So let's take that snapshot in time. When you have $500,000 in there, yes, you could design it to pay out $500,000 on top of $1 million if you died. But that's not what I would do. I would make the $500,000 be part of the $1 million, meaning the insurance company is only going to charge me now for the net amount at risk, the remaining amount, because my cash value equals half of the death benefit. They're only going to charge me for the remaining $500,000. Well, that $500,000, if you earn an average return of 9.6%, will double in 7.5 years. So when $500,000 doubles to $1 million, now you have $1 million of cash value, which equals the death benefit. The insurance is basically free, but in actuality, if you die, the insurance company will pay out 5% more than that. This is because of IRS guidelines. If you died, the insurance company would pay out $1 million $50,000, but they're only going to charge you for that remaining $50,000 of net amount at risk. Let's say you didn't retire, and so in another 7.5 years, that million doubles to $2 million. And if you die, they'll pay out $2.1 million. But they're only charging you for that $100,000 over and above your cash, which is minuscule compared to the interest you're earning on $2 million. So this is how your insurance gets cheaper as you get older, because you're self-insuring. This is like buy term invest the difference on steroids, because your cash value, if it's done right, many times will equal and could exceed the death benefit within 10 years or so. And this is what creates a great internal rate of return, so that every $1 million of cash value can generate $80, $90, $100,000 a year of tax-free income.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
Earn 500% more than the cost of a loan? Yes, you can with IUL. Welcome back. This is Doug Andrew, Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. If you're just joining us, in the previous segment, I was talking about how to buy a property structured indexed universal life insurance contract, which is my favorite financial vehicle for many long-term goals, such as retirement. I mean, in my opinion, it knocks the socks off of most IRAs and 401ks, where most Americans who have their money in tax-deferred accounts retire, and they're not in a lower tax bracket if they save very much money. And so they're paying taxes the rest of their golden years. And the financial services industry has those IRAs or 401ks invested in a volatile market, mutual funds. And so they know that the average retiree is only really earning about 3.49%. This is actual historical data found by Dalbar, who studies investor behavior, especially retirees. And so that's why the financial services industry only wants you to pull out 4% a year out of your IRAs or 401ks if the money's invested in the market. To me, that is absolutely unacceptable. In a laser fund, a property structured max funded IUL, I can pull out $80,000 a year, 8%, even 10%, $100,000 a year tax-free. You pull out $40,000 a year out of an IRA or 401k, you're going to have to pay tax on that. Even in a 25% tax bracket, you're only netting $30,000. What would you rather have, $30,000 to buy gas and groceries each year in retirement, or with the same asset, the same $1 million, have $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year? It's three times as much money. But what I want to talk about is how many savvy investors use a max-funded indexed universal life insurance policy not only for retirement, but as they're preparing for retirement, they use it for all kinds of other goals. So let me talk about one of them, because it's a great emergency fund. Do you know this is where a lot of banks and credit unions put 30 to 40% of their tier one assets for liquidity and safety? They take your money that they pay you 2 or 3% interest on, and they turn around and they make 5, 10% or more by putting it into an insurance company that's rated 6 notches higher in safety, usually than they are. They're increasing the safety and the rate of return. I just say, bypass the middleman and put your serious cash into an insurance contract for liquidity for an emergency fund, because you can access money in this day and age, if you have to, with an electronic funds transfer or a phone call. You don't need a drive-up window down on the corner if you have an emergency. Okay? Now, let's get over to savvy investors, business owners, or let's say real estate investors. So if you own rental income real estate, or you're a business owner, which is sort of a business, okay, let me tell you what savvy business owners, real estate investors do by utilizing a max-funded indexed universal life insurance contract. Now, they park their working capital in an IUL policy. Why? Okay. Some make the mistake when I meet them. They think that they want to hurry and take their positive cash flow from their rental properties and hurry and send it to the mortgage lender to pay down the mortgage as soon as possible until I show them the math. If you were to put that positive cash flow from your rental properties into a max funded IUL policy, compounding tax-free, at rates of return averaging, 7 to 10%, and your mortgage on the rental home is, let's say, 4.5%, 5%, or 6% tax deductible, at 4.5%, that's a net cost of 3% in a 33% tax bracket. Do you understand what I just said? You could be earning compound interest at 9% tax-free versus paying simple interest net of 3. That's 3 times as much money. What does that mean? It means you would have enough money in your IUL policy to totally pay off the mortgages on your rental properties 2.5 to 3 years sooner than sending the money to the mortgage company and killing your partner, Uncle Sam, and killing the opportunity to be making 300% more than the cost of the funds when you borrow. Okay? Savvy people understand this. But it also relates to how business owners use IUL. They put their working capital in an IUL policy. Now, many business owners, because they have to buy inventory or whatever, they will keep $50,000, $100,000, $500,000, $1 million in what is called a working capital account. Well, smart ones put it into an IUL policy where it's very liquid. And so what they do is when they need money, they have it very readily available to them. But let me share a secret with you on how they access that money. Are you ready? Okay. I'm going to use an actual example in 2017 of one of my savvy clients who's a business owner. And we have several who do this. So he's a real estate investor. He buys these strip malls. And he fixes them up and flips them. He doesn't want to be the landlord. He has a pool of investors who want fixed up properties, and he has people who want out. So in 2017, he had a multi-million dollar strip mall that he wanted to buy, and he needed $1 million of earnest money to tie up the property. He called me and said, "Doug, I need $1 million out of my indexed universal life insurance policy. Send me over that one-page form." He's done it before. Well, what's the one-page form? He puts his name and his policy number, which is like an account number, and he puts in, I need $1 million out of this. And then it says, do you want to withdraw $1 million or do you want to borrow $1 million from us? What do you think he checks? If he withdraws $1 million, it's no longer in there earning interest, right? So he borrows. Now, he has two choices. He could borrow $1 million at 2% is what he could have borrowed at, and they'll credit him 2%. On the collateral that is still there, because the insurance company will loan you the equivalent of the money you have in there, okay? They'll charge you 2%, they'll credit you 2%. It costs you zero to borrow your money. But why would you do that? Because then you can put it back. If you withdraw it, you can't put it back. The IRS won't let you put it back, okay, to the amount that you would want. Now, what he does is he checks the next box down on that one-page form. Would you like to borrow using an index loan or an alternate loan is what some call it? What's that? Well, that's where the insurance company will loan him that $1 million. He doesn't have to qualify. He has the money in there. But they'll loan him $1 million and they'll charge him a higher interest rate like 4% or 5%. In 2017, he said, you can charge me 5%. Now, why? Why would he borrow his own money, or basically $1 million from the insurance company using his own money as collateral, at 5% instead of 2%? Because if you do that, they will credit you whatever the indexed rate is that year on your policy. Instead of discrediting 2%, which is the borrowing rate, he borrowed at 5% and they credited him the indexed rate in 2017. Guess what the crediting rate that he realized in 2017 was on that policy? 25% tax-free. So they credited him 25% on that $1 million that was collateralizing the loan that he borrowed at 5%. What's 25% on $1 million? $250,000. He doesn't have to write out a check for the 5%. It just is in there. And if you deduct that $50,000 from the $250,000, He still made $200,000, 20% tax-free, on his million, while he was technically using that million to make $2 to $3 million buying and flipping a strip mall. Did you catch that? This is incredible, okay? This is how savvy people, they understand how money works. That's why banks and credit unions borrow your money and pay you a nominal interest rate. They turn around and make double, triple, or quadruple. What I've been doing is like this gentleman's been doing. For years, if I borrow at 5 and I earn 10, that's 100% more. But he borrowed at 5 and earned 25. He earned 500% more. And I could tell you of people who borrow at 5 and have been credited 61%. I don't want to go there right now because you won't believe me. But folks, it's true.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.